Out on the street, a young woman is being yanked around by the arm and threatened by a uniformed officer of some kind.
He shouts at her that she should be taken to a girls' reform school.
I tell him triumphantly that she's not a girl, she's a woman about to give birth. In fact, she's Goethe's soul.
And she's about to bring something new into the world.
Then I realize to my amazement that this is actually true. I feel so encouraged by this. She's real. And apparently she doesn't belong only to Goethe or to any one person, time, or place.
She's mine, too.
In fact, she belongs to everyone.
To watch the soul trying to be itself is so moving. I mean, oftentimes I have to leave the room, my office, because I just can't stop crying. And it's not because it's so sad, but because it's reality. And that is alarming in the world we live in. We are so used to hypocrisy, sentimentality, everything that just is veiled, that hides us from reality.
The soul today is an orphan. Her ancient parents have abandoned her. She languishes alone and forsaken in a rationalistic world that no longer believes in her. Philosophy, her father, long ago decided she did not exist and cast her aside. The church, her mother, fell unwittingly into the clutches of the extroverted, rationalistic materialism of our times, and so also abandoned the soul. The church did not notice that in losing soul, she lost her ability to relate the individual to God.
I walk into my grandson's room and pick him up from his toddler bed.
He is sleepy and cuddly, but something doesn't feel right.
And as I look down, I can see that a shadow of him is still lying on the bed. Intuitively, I realize that this is his spirit or soul that is still lying there. I only have his physical being in my arms.
I know what I have to do.
I lay him back down on his spirit self and then pick him up again as a whole being.
Soul, then, can be imaged as our inner orphan who cries out to be found and recovered and nurtured. And dreams can be imaged as the orphaned soul's plaintive and persistent cries to be found and brought back into what the poet David White calls the house of belonging.
Across the street. As she was dying, my mom and her family waited on her daily, and I visit her at least once a day. And my summer art assistant job, I made a large paper crepe flower for her with lots of colors, including black and red and white and pink. When I got home, my mom advised that I should go see Grandma, but I was so tired and I had an early evening job that day and would visit her afterwards. Unfortunately, she died while I was at work. I was devastated. I could not say goodbye. Weeks later, I had a dream about her. I grabbed her and hugged her real tight. And I believe I said, "I love you, Grandma." When I woke up, I was crying, but relieved that I got to say goodbye.
And I see the soul as an eternal being that is staying in this body for a few years, and what you're dealing with is that eternal quality trying to get along in temporal space. And there is an element of pain in that. Say it, please.
I was too shy to tell my mother about the dream, but I think about it often and still cry about it till this day. That was 40 years ago. Was that real? Did she visit me? I did feel comfort because touching her was very real, not dreamlike.
William Blake said that the garden of the soul is already planted and is waiting for the water of life.
Call it the water of attention. There are innate ideas.
Dreams. Stories.
Buried in people.
When we don't water those seeds, culture loses ideas. It loses imagination.
It loses the capacity to dream itself forward.
A dream from just after my mother's sudden death in a car crash. I stood at the mouth of a sandy cave on the shore of the ocean and called twice, and it fluttered out into the light and landed on my hand.
The garden of the soul is already planted. It's waiting for the water of life.
Call it the water of attention.
Last night, I asked to have a dream regarding the truth about my relationship. In my dream, we went to see a wise woman, and I asked her to read the cards for me to find out what was in my partner's heart. She said she wasn't in the mood. But then she offered us a snack, which was some kind of biscuit and a dead monarch butterfly.
I stood at the mouth of a sandy cave on the shore of the ocean and called twice, and it fluttered out into the light and landed on my hand.
I have been seeing live monarch butterflies a lot over the last 3 months. I lived through the recent Christchurch earthquake, and they have a lot of significance for me, as a friend of mine, who is also my partner's best friend, died in it. And in the last photo taken of him, had a monarch in his hand.
The cocoon is dreams.
A woman who has been on a journey or an adventure says this about what was told to her, what she learned.
The cocoon is dreams.
People hate the human soul. It is nothing but psychological.
They don't understand that it has needs, and they throw its treasures into the street without understanding them.
To the primitives, it is death to lose the soul.
Was that real? Did she visit me?
Call it the water of attention.
I know what I have to do. I lay him back down on his spirit self, and then pick him up again. As a whole being.
I did feel comfort because touching her was very real, not dreamlike.
The cocoon is dreams.
A woman says this about what was told to her.
My partner's best friend had the monarch on his arm in that last photo. They were definitely his soul brothers, the big brother my partner's mother lost before him, the soul he's looked for all his life, his twin. His friend and I had a connection so deep, I can't even begin to describe. The three of us did things on a spiritual level that kicked the ass of all other experiences. It was huge stuff. We only knew him for another year before he died. It was so intense. We still reckon he's around. Happier than ever, to be honest. He always hated having a body. I think I was the first person to ever really hug him. Man, he was cuddly after that. Hugs for all.
There are innate ideas, dreams, stories buried in people.
Something does not feel right, and as I look down, I can see that a shadow of him is still lying on the bed.
When we don't water those seeds, culture loses ideas.
It loses imagination.
It loses the capacity to dream itself forward.
I mean that literally.
I was too shy to tell my mother about the dream, but I think about that dream often and still cry about it till this day.
Call it the water of attention.
I wondered aloud if we should eat the dead butterfly, and then we all had a bite. It was the oddest sensation.
When we don't water those seeds, culture loses its capacity to dream itself forward.
It felt kind of special, significant, a sharing.
Intuitively, I realized that this is his spirit or soul that is still lying there. I only have his physical being in my arms.
Call it the water of attention.
I know what I have to do. I lay him down on his spirit self and then pick him up again as a whole being.
That was about 40 years ago. Was that real? Did she visit me?
I thought this was an important dream, one I should not hide away in my notebooks.
I did feel comfort because touching her was very real, not dreamlike.
She's Goethe's soul.
And she's about to bring something new into the world.
I feel so encouraged by this.
She's real.
Only the symbolic life can express the need of the soul, the daily need.